Ron Elving is our correspondent in the United States, senior editor and correspondent Washington desk for NPR News. Welcome, Ron.
Good to be with you, Catherine.
Well, a week ago we hadn't heard of it, and now what? Panic is everywhere, certainly on the share market by the looks of it, about Omicron.
Yes. Yes, Omicron is the new COVID. This is the excuse that people have for falling back into their old habits. One hopes that this will be an incentive for those who have not been vaccinated or not fully vaccinated or not gotten their booster shot to make sure that they've done all three. But we just don't know yet how the country is going to react if there's a new wave of restrictions, a new wave of lockdowns and shutdowns for schools, for restaurants, for the holidays, because we are just on the cusp of the Christmas season. Today's the first day of Hanukkah. This is just not the time to be telling people they have to go back into lockdown.
What has been the response so far, and where is it heading when it comes to rule changes affecting the public?
The greatest effect thus far has been really the emotional reaction. And today, President Biden, just a few hours ago, came out at the White House and said this new variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. Let's all just take a breath and decide what it is we need to do to be safe. The administration is really emphasizing booster shots at this point, trying to get everyone to do that much. And for those who have not gotten vaccinated, and that's still about 30% of the United States that has not gotten even one shot, that group is concentrated in the South and in the Midwest, mostly in rural areas, mostly in areas that voted for President Trump, former President Trump. And they are also, by and large, they tend to be Republicans. But that does not perfectly describe Republicans by any means, because actually the majority of Republicans have been vaccinated. It's just that that's also describing the majority of those who have not been vaccinated. They're also Republicans.
So a lot of waiting, isn't it? And I know this happened with the share markets as well. They did not react well with the early news. We're being told we have to wait likely weeks to get any number of key questions answered about this new variant.
Well, we know that it is in Canada. At this point, there have been several cases, so we know it's in North America. And, of course, it is going to come to North America, and, of course, it will cross the international lines, and, of course, it already has. I think it's extremely unlikely that the Omicron virus has not already appeared in the United States or begun to infect people in the United States. We don't know how much more virulent it is or how much more likely it is to be fatal, and we don't know how it's going to react with the vaccinations that people have already received. It's quite possible that the existing vaccinations will be at least very helpful, if not a total blockage, against this new variant as well. We also don't know just how quickly this sort of rampage that it seems to go on in terms of infectiousness. We all have heard the story of the Portuguese soccer team, the football team in Portugal that had one person who had been to South Africa, and suddenly everyone on the team has been infected. So it does seem to be highly infectious, but we don't know how virulent, how damaging, or how likely to be fatal it is.
That uncertainty has been the whole story of the pandemic in some ways. There's a new ogre rising, though, and it's inflation. And for a long time, the word was this is temporary, this is related to the pandemic. Central banks and Federal Reserves can look through it. That tenor's beginning to change.
That is a tougher sell than it was a month or two ago. Initially, people seem to be reassured by that sort of talk. But the problem, of course, with inflation is that it feeds on itself, that people see prices going up and they look around for what they can do to compensate. And often that has to do with raising the price of something or raising the price of their own labor. Now, some of this is perhaps overdue. We have seen real wages and real wage increases lag the economy now for a number of years, really decades in the United States. And a lot of people people, particularly in the lesser skilled, less educated occupations, need to catch up. So some of this is perhaps overdue. But the oil in particular, the energy cost, is something that Americans take very personally. A great number of Americans rely on oil and gas, particularly gasoline, to get to work, to get anywhere they need to get. Perhaps that is changing with the introduction of hybrids and electric vehicles, but it is not changing fast enough, and particularly in those parts of the culture that are particularly gasoline dependent, those are already the parts of the economy, the parts of the body politic that are most resistant to the current regime, the current administration, the Biden administration, and they don't want to be told that this is temporary. They want it to just go away.
Again, that uncertainty. Now, where is the January 6th investigation at?
That investigation goes forward with more and more requests going out for people to participate, and we don't have a precise number of how many people have agreed to participate without having to be subpoenaed. We do have a running count on the subpoenas and the number of people who are refusing to comply with them. There was a lot of attention in the last few days, particularly with regard to former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who was the last number two person in the White House, right below the president, and who seems to have been involved, according to many accounts, right up to the minute of the crowd crashing into the Capitol on January 6th. He was in communication with people, and that is certainly something the committee wants to find out about, and it's probably why he does not particularly want to be debriefed in front of television cameras, in front of the country as a whole. The same is true of former Trump advisor and strategist Steve Bannon, who has made a major fuss about being subpoenaed, despite the fact that he was no longer in the executive branch and doesn't really have any claim to executive privilege by any normal stretch of the imagination. Former President Trump asked him to claim executive privilege, so he did, and now he is making an attempt to delay any sort of court action on his subpoena for months, largely by trying to try the case in the media. So there has been pushback on that from the Department of Justice, and they're really trying to make it clear that it is not just about these two men, Mark Meadows and Steve Bannon. They're trying to make clear that they have a whole range of subpoenas to enforce, and it seems that the committee itself this week will vote to tell the Justice Department they want these subpoenas prosecuted, meaning that if people do not comply, that they would be taken to court and, if convicted, sent to jail.
Goodness, key moment then. Now, the Supreme Court on Texas abortion law, where are we in the queue waiting for that?
Yes, we are very much waiting for that. We expect that the court may try to split the baby a little bit here and not tackle the essential question of the 1973 decision that legalized abortion. That was Roe versus Wade, very famous decision that that changed the law for all 50 states in the United States. We've been living under that now for nearly half a century, and it seems to be very much in the it is very much hanging by a thread. And there seems to be a majority on the court that would possibly overturn that law. But the court might not take this moment to do that. The court might just take a more narrow view of the Texas law and strike down some of the provisions, particularly having to do with reporting an abortion or participation in an abortion or participation in getting someone to an abortion as a rewarded activity, kind of vigilanteism, to report anyone you know who might have been getting involved in any way in an abortion. So that part of the law is more highly suspect than just the after six weeks ban. So the court might take a narrower view of just that provision, the really highly controversial reporting provision, and knock that out and leave for another day the larger question of abortion itself being legal or illegal.
A couple of minutes to go, so that gives you a minute for each party. There's a fair bit of dissent and disunity in both at the moment.
Indeed, the Congress, which is has narrow Democratic majorities, has not quite been able to finish passing the Biden agenda. They did do the hard infrastructure, that is, bridges and roads. That finally got done. But the soft infrastructure, the much larger social spending bill that's been compared to the Great Society of the 1960s or even the New Deal of the Depression era, that's still hanging fire because the Democrats are not fully in support of it. There are a couple of senators holding out that we've talked about before, and those folks are more or less keeping everything up in the air. On the Republican side, the big contention point is whether Republicans will continue to make an issue of Donald Trump's contention that he was somehow done out of the presidency by some sort of conspiracy or some sort of evil machinery back in 2020, and that he should still be president. There is no evidence for that, no evidence at any level, no evidence in any state, but the former president has made it an article of faith for his supporters, so many of them tell pollsters they believe it. And individual Republican candidates for 2022, for the midterm elections, 2024, for the next presidential round, are being asked to commit to that notion that somehow the Biden presidency was not legitimate. That's a tall order.
Ron Elving is senior editor and correspondent, Washington Desk for NPR News.